Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have a super guest. I'm not allowed to say special or very interesting, but super. Terry Savage, terrysavage.com, a columnist, a good grief. I'm not even going to try to go through your biography, Terry. You just know a lot. How about that?
That's because I've been around a long time, David. I was a founding member and the first woman trader on the options exchange and traded currencies on the mercantile exchange and then switched to a career of talking about it better than doing it.
Well, you're what I want to be when I grow up then. I'm impressed. The book, and again, I've done a couple, as you know, Terry, I've done a couple books myself, but boy, I love your book, The New Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? And that's available on your website, terrysavage.com, and I'm sure in all the fine bookstores. So,
yeah, and just out in brand new edition of The Savage Truth on Money. Both those books designed for ordinary people, the kind of people that you help on a financial planning basis. A lot of financial planners give my books to their clients so they don't have to explain things like zero coupon bonds or the pluses and minuses of annuities and so forth.
You're nailing it. That's exactly, because most people just don't understand. You know what I call it? I call it translating it from Finglish to English.
Very good.
And that's really where people get caught up is some financial people talk to them and it just goes right over their head or it just doesn't mean anything. And so I appreciate your approach because people don't really have an idea about some of this stuff. In fact, I would argue that sometimes we know enough to be dangerous. You know, I know enough about cars to be dangerous. I know enough about medicine to be dangerous, but I know about money.
Yeah, and so do I. And you and I share this goal of literally taking people by the hand and saying, this is important. I always say, you don't have to be an expert. It's really wise to get good advice. But how will you know the advice is good if you don't know something about it yourself? Of course, we have a special audience, those people who already know that because they tune in to listen to you.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. Well, I'm going to hit you right up the front here. I know there's a lot we can talk about, and we'll probably end up having you come back because we could talk for hours on this. One of the things that I find is really what people don't always see until it hits them are the dangers or what I call the threats to their retirement. What are some of the big ones and how can people be on the lookout? How do we get them to realize these threats or dangers, Terry, and do something about it?
Well, that's a really great place to start because there's a four-letter word that most people don't like to use, and when they do, they don't understand it, and that four-letter word is risk. R-I-S-K. And the immediate thing that comes to mind when you talk about risk is, what if I lose money? And that keeps people from taking appropriate risk. For sure, the stock market is one of those situations where over the long run, you know these numbers from the Ibbotson historical facts, there's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company stocks with dividends reinvested. So we know that if you're going to be living into your 80s or 90s, that you need to take the appropriate risk of having some of your money, a portion of it at work in the stock market, working for you. But everybody thinks, oh, no, the market's too risky. And then they forget about other risks. What about the risk of inflation? If you retire at 65, it's entirely possible that only the historic level of 3% average annual inflation, your money will be cut in half, your spending power will be cut in half in just a little over 20 years by the rule of 72. And so people don't think about it. They say, well, great, you can get me $3,000 a month, or $5,000 or $14,000, whatever it is. That just will cover my lifestyle. I'll buy that fixed product and get that check a month for life, not realizing that even moderate inflation will eat that away.
That's insufficient.
It's insufficient.
You've got to do more than that.
Exactly. One more big risk. The biggest risk that's going to come along and blindside everybody is not the risk in the stock market. And I hope that you're all protected against inflation. It's so easy to hedge. But the biggest risk that could devastate all your financial plans is the cost of long-term care, custodial care, not the kind of care that's covered by Medicare or supplements, but the fact that we're living longer. We don't see our parents. I mean, my dad, knock on wood, is down there in Florida with you, walking only a mile on the beach every day, not his 2.5 miles at age 92, you know? So we live longer. We haven't seen frailty because now you get a new knee or a new hip and you can keep walking, unlike our grandparents who they put them in a wheelchair and they sort of disintegrated.
Yeah.
But eventually it'll catch up and long-term care costs are soaring. Long-term care insurance or some kind of a form of it that combines it with an investment product like life insurance is really a must for someone who thinks they might live into their late 80s or 90s, which is most of us.
Well, Terry, I know we're going to have to do another program because you're right, you're right, you're right.
Well, you know, we think alike.
Yeah, Terry Savage is our guest. She's a columnist. You're a national syndicated columnist.
Right, for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Very cool. That's another conversation we'll have to talk about. But, you know, you mentioned the Ibbotson data, and you talk about the 20-year period. The flip side of that, that also is a risk that people, they could accomplish so much if they would stick with a plan. If you go and look at one-year returns, now you go to 30 to 40% chance of loss over
exactly.
a 10-year period.
Exactly.
And it just kills them.
Because people get scared because they have no, it's not just the knowledge and the information you need. It's not just the plan. You need the self-discipline to stick with that plan, and that's where a financial advisor helps.
Well, that's right, because the financial advisor can be the overlay and say, okay, if you don't have the discipline, at least pick somebody that knows what they're doing, and they'll help you have the discipline.
Exactly.
Inflation, we know it's going to be, 3% is going to be modest. I think the Fed's going to have to let it run hotter than normal to make sure that they don't put us into another recession when they go to raise rates.
Well, look at all the money
they've
already printed. Yeah, sure.
And
well, the market will raise rates on the Fed when the world realizes how much debt we have and our inability to control our spending and the fact that we will continue to borrow. At some point, just like with your credit card debt, someone's going to say, uh-uh, or you're going to have to pay a very high rate of interest to borrow. And that'll happen in the global markets at some point.
You're exactly right. I couldn't agree more. Terry Savage is our guest. She is a syndicated columnist. She's got a great book out, The New Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? Quick break. Terry, we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back. Terry Savage is our guest, a great guest, and the book is The New Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? TerrySavage.com. Terry, the other big question I wanted to make sure we got to is, how can somebody earn money during retirement?
You know, first of all, that means we have to redefine retirement, and that's a big key to The Savage Number. I wrote the first edition of this book a few years back when people were still telling me, that was before 2007, I think it was 2006. Then completely rewrote it this last year. People were telling me they were going to retire at 59 or 63, and I was laughing at them saying, there's no way. Retirement is going to be newly defined for our generation, and it means that you're going to have to, if you don't work at your old job, you're going to have to plan to keep earning money in some way, and maybe not as much as you did before, throughout your early retirement years, because there's nothing that can prolong your capital use better than earning money while you still can.
And not drawing.
Letting your money grow and not withdrawing. That if you take a look at the retirement planning calculator at choosetosave.org, that's the Employee Benefit Research Institute, the best calculator on the web, choosetosave.org. They have a calculator called the ballpark estimate. And the biggest change you can make in finding your number, how long will it last, as long as I do, is saying, A, I'm going to retire later. B, when I, quote, retire, it may be from this job, but I will have a plan to continue earning money into retirement so I can let the money I've invested grow longer and withdraw less.
What everybody misses, Terry, is that if you just wait, let's just say it's 2 years, that means that you've, if you're working, you've made 2 years more of contributions, you've mm-hmm. got 2 more years of growth, and you've got 2 years that you didn't have to draw the money, and you've got 2 years less, the money has to go the distance, assuming the same lifespan.
Exactly. That's the whole principle. And people are so panicked now. Of course, let's not forget that I bet you a third of the audience is saying, what are the two of them talking about? I've lost my job. I've had to take Social Security earlier than I planned. I'm in my early 60s and I don't have health insurance. So I can't wait till Medicare. I mean, please let Medicare kick in for me. And so we have a lot of disappointed people that won't be able to extend their working careers. But the economy's coming back despite Washington. The American economy really wants to grow. And to keep your eyes open because there will be opportunities if you're creative to earn some money. And I'm not just talking about working in the local restaurant from, you know, 6 a.m. till 3 p.m., but being able to do other creative things in your own business that will help you bring money in and spend less.
I think you're right, Terry. I think the economy is going to pick back up. You know, there's a lot of pent-up demand. There's a lot of money on the sideline just waiting for some optimism and some positivity for it to bloom.
Exactly. Well, you know, the only place, there are only two places in the world where they still believe that the government can and should control an economy. One of those places is Cuba, and the other place is the United States Congress.
Well, I sure hope they get their act together and resolve this. Do you think we'll go over the cliff? Do you think it'll get resolved?
I think that the biggest incentive of all is the vacation, holiday vacation that Congress has in front of it. I don't think there's one representative or senator in Congress that wants to come back on December 26th because we need five more days of resolving this. So I believe they'll probably pass it along. Maybe there'll be a compromise. I think the most likely thing on this tax compromise is that the president will give on the $250,000 and it will at least go up to $500,000, maybe even higher, for a tax increase, and then they'll have to cave on delaying the start of Medicare, which I know is very painful, but which is just mathematically impossible for us to keep paying these health care bills for the generation, the boomer generation that's about to retire.
I think they're going to punt. I think they're going to do a one-year deal, whatever it is. And every year, we were talking about this before we brought you on with my resident CFA, and every year they're going to hold us hostage, and I wish they would stop, but it seems like
You know what you have to do if that's the case? You need to hedge your bets against the U.S. dollar. And I know at over $1,700 an ounce, gold looks very pricey. But if they cannot get their act together to make structural changes in the long run, the changes that will lead to growth incentives and will lead to adjustments in our benefits programs, if they can't do that, you need to buy gold stocks or a gold mutual fund.
And get diversified internationally. You know, one of the things that we naturally do, you know, good old USA, we're patriotic. And I've seen so many portfolios, I'm sure you have, where people are 100% U.S., and you know what? We better get real diversified.
This is hard to do, but I have a friend who runs a private hedge fund in international equities who sent me an email today saying European stocks have now officially bottomed. I find that a little bit scary because I know there's more trouble ahead in Europe, but then again, there's more trouble in the United States.
It's always relative to what, isn't it?
Yep, exactly.
Terry Savage is our guest. The book is The New Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? TerrySavage.com is the website. Terry, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Terry Savage is our guest, and I'm just delighted because she's sharing a lot of things that, guess what, listeners, you've heard from me before. So affirmation of what we've been talking about on this program for some time. But Terry, it's good stuff. And I want to ask you, you know, I tend to be a hybrid. I use a lot of different financial products, and we do fee-based money management for our clients. What do you think about how people should invest for their retirement? What do you think makes sense?
You know, a lot of that depends on your personal situation. But one thing that I do think is that I made the point earlier that we for sure will have some inflation, and for sure you need to have your money working hard for you. And so that implies at least a percentage of your assets in equities, stocks, diversified.
Definitely.
I don't care if you use the S&P 500 index fund or an equity income fund of sorts, but you need some exposure to growth. And then I personally, and I think everybody else, has this great component of fear that can be assuaged by having what I call chicken money on the side. That definition is money that you simply cannot afford to lose.
Yeah.
The most disciplined and difficult thing it is to do today is to keep your money in short-term CDs or treasuries paying zero interest.
Well, they think they say, well, I'm not making anything. And you know what I say to them, Terry? I say, you're just exactly right. That's the premium for the chicken money, as you put it. And, you know, the other thing is, I went back, and I'm sure you've looked at this too, done studies historically, and the stock market is a better hedge against inflation than gold or against anything else I can find. And people have to have at least keep some there.
Absolutely.
You know, for when, you know, whatever, a gallon of milk costs $10.
You know, we mentioned that there's never been a 20-year losing period, U.S. large cap stocks with dividends invested. Let me stress that shows even adjusted for inflation on the average historical 3% inflation rate. So stocks have historically beat inflation. Very counterintuitive. A lot of people who are retirees know they can't replace money if the market goes down. They think, oh my gosh, I'm going to keep it all in cash. Then they get it all in cash and they go, oh my gosh, I'm not earning anything.
Yeah.
So I find you sleep better at night. Your chicken money position lets you know that you don't have to panic. You have a longer-term view of the stock market, which you know historically has beaten inflation and gained money for you. And, you know, guess what? If we're all wrong and the stock market goes straight down and never comes back and you're a retiree, you're going to have a lot more to worry about than your stock portfolio because the stock market represents America. So, you know, have faith. I always say, don't bet against America. Nobody ever got rich betting against America in the long run.
Thank you for saying that, Terry, because, you know, I'm sure you know these stories. I have a couple of people, in fact, one in particular I'm thinking of, that got out on March 6, 2009. And you know what he's praying for? He's praying for the market to go to nothing because he's got to be able to
get back
exactly.
in. Exactly. He'll feel right.
Exactly. So his head's straight and he made the right choice and he gets back in and his pride's intact. And it's sad when people have to bet against our country.
Exactly. You cannot spend pride. Okay, the market is a new day every day. I come from the trading floors, mind you, you know. And actually, I'm taking this call from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where I'm on the board of directors. And we had a meeting this afternoon, so I said I'll do this call in a conference room. And I can honestly tell you that I've hung around with traders all my life. God bless them. That's wonderful. That's not my game. I'm a really good long-term investor. And as I look back over a career of continuing to put that money in on a regular basis, I know it works. And so I advise not only the people who are listening to you talking about maybe retirement, but this is the holiday season. Get your children and your grandchildren started investing, because a little bit of money, as you now know, over a long bit of time can really grow dramatically if America survives and prospers, which I think it will. So open that 529 college savings account as a holiday present, or buy a couple of shares of stock. And let your children and grandchildren understand the virtues of making their money work for them.
It's that first 7 years that makes all the difference in the world. We've seen the numbers and all the statistics. Terry Savage is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. TerrySavage.com, the book, The New Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? One more quick break, Terry, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back with Terry Savage and the book, The New Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? TerrySavage.com. Terry, I want to ask you, because I saw it on your website, so I know you're going to know the answer to this and be able to talk about it. One of the things very often when I'm doing the planning for my clients is we're looking at longevity. And I kind of have this rule, unless the client really argues with me, I want to go out to age 100 because it seems like longevity just gets longer and longer and longer. So you mentioned on your website, and I actually have it, you'll find it ironic, I have it in my book, the livingto100.com.
This is the most fabulous website. You don't have to be a genius. Just go to livingto, and then the number 100.com, and take the quiz. And it's going to ask you things like, how old are you now? How old are your siblings? How old are your parents? Or how old were they when they passed on? And a lot of lifestyle things like, you know, do you exercise every day? Do you eat green vegetables every day and 2 servings of fruit and all that stuff? And do you wear your seatbelt every time you get in the car? And then you click. When I was writing this book, I did this survey, and I clicked, and I got 104.
Wow, you beat me.
I went, oh, my goodness. I just said I better go back and be a little more honest about the green vegetables and the exercise, you know. And I still got 96.
You're like, so, oh, my gosh, I got to start eating more fatty foods or something. I'm going to run out
like
of money.
That. Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing. I never heard anyone complain about winding up with too much money. You can always find a good cause for it if they let you give it away under the new estate tax.
Yeah, we'll see.
So the big problem is, you know, I say this especially to women. Women have a secret fear of being what I call a bag lady.
Yes, they do.
Exactly. And I know this about women. And so one of the things you need to plan for is, number one, living longer. Number two, having some kind of a long-term care insurance plan, even if you can't afford a lot of this insurance.
Yes.
Some will get you into a nursing home where you won't be able to buy your way in if you're a Medicaid patient, state Medicaid. So the point is you need to have some long-term care insurance to get yourself into a good facility, which you hope you won't need. And this can pay for care at home, by the way, and doesn't force you into a nursing home. You need to plan for longevity. And then once you make this plan, you need to relax and enjoy the life you have today. I'll leave you on that note. That's why they call it the present. I know it sounds trite, but every day is a gift, and as long as you're healthy and you're able to make these decisions, don't stress out over money. It will shorten your life. That's not the way to make your money last as long as you do, by shortening your own life worrying about it.
You're exactly right, Terry. And as a planner, I sometimes say this and people look at me a little sideways, but after all said and done, it is just money and people need to enjoy their lives. And there's one more thing I'm going to add to your to-do list. And that is, if a woman, her husband's doing the finances and she is not involved, she needs to insist, be pushy, cook his favorite dinner, get out the wine, whatever it takes to get involved and attend these meetings, because there's a high percentage of women that if the husband dies, they are on their own, and something like 60% of them change advisors. It's a state of tumult, and
horrible. Look at
horrible.
The odds are, ladies, play the odds. The odds are we're going to live longer than they are. So I know you're promoting this book and the Savage Truth on Money. My books are available in paperback very inexpensively at my website or on Amazon, and I don't make any money at this stage selling books. My whole goal, just as David's, is to take you by the hand and make sure that you participate, you understand at least some of it, that you have a trusted advisor. This is my message out there to women. You can do this. We do so much as women. We raise children. Nobody gave us a rule book for that. We figure out how to cook and clean, and really none of us had big lessons in that when we started out. And, yeah, you say, well, those mistakes aren't so serious. Believe me, you can do money. You can do money. And it's important that you get, and it's never too late to get started learning about it.
I know they can do money, Terry, because it was something like the average woman has 6 thoughts in her head at the same time. She can handle one more.
Exactly. And whereas a man can't even handle the one he's
one,
got.
One barely. Terry Savage has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We will have her back on another time because she's great. And the book is The New Savage Number. How much money do you really need to retire? Terry, thank you very much for making time in your busy schedule for us.
Thanks so much. I love being with you, David.
Thank you, Terry. All right. Bye-bye now.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.